This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Efforts to kill the state's six-year-old renewable energy program are making progress in the legislature, but the going is tough. A Senate committee approved its version yesterday after a vigorous debate and a contentious vote. A similar bill has so far failed to make it through a House committee, but efforts there continue. John Murawski is an energy and utilities reporter for the News and Observer, and he joins us on the program to talk about the attempt to repeal North Carolina's renewables policy. John, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on.
Tell us about this policy. 6 years old. What is it that we're trying to repeal here?
So the policy, what it does is it requires Duke Energy, Progress Energy, municipal utilities, and rural cooperatives to buy electricity that's generated from renewable resources primarily. This would be the main one in North Carolina now is solar. It would also include wind. It includes hydroelectric power, but previously existing hydroelectric plants are included in that. So we're not building any new hydro plants. Also includes biomass, which would be landfill methane and other kinds of alternative fuel generators. So under federal law, the utilities are required to buy the electrical output. But what the state law does is it says if any of these producers cost more than traditional electricity, you have to pay them the extra premium, and you can pass that on to your customers. And so that's what the controversy is, because there's a subsidy involved to get these industries off the ground. And critics don't like the subsidy. They think it's essentially kind of like an affirmative action program for non-competitive industries. And so they want to phase it out. And supporters like it because it produces clean energy that doesn't have any pollution that has to be cleaned up later at an extra cost that's not included in the electricity cost now. And also it produces a more diversified portfolio of electricity sources, some of them being, of course, domestic to North Carolina, so we're not importing coal or nuclear fuel is actually generated here in the state.
And I guess some of those proponents of the current policy would also point out that if fossil fuels, when they finally run out, it would be good to have an industry in place rather than have the price point reach so high that that's the signal to the market to start the research on renewables.
Yes, although technically we're not anywhere, in terms of coal.
Yeah.
You know, we have over 200 years of supply of coal, and we now have, possibly a century of supply of natural gas. So that's probably not an immediate concern, although coal, because of pollution that it creates, particularly mercury, is now a non-starter in North Carolina. We're not building any new coal plants.
So talk about this effort to repeal it. You say the argument is it represents a subsidy and increases the cost currently, and that is what the opponents say they would like to end. Is that right?
Right. The effort to get to undo this bill started almost immediately after it passed. But the John Locke Foundation was involved in putting out papers and holding meetings on this. But the Republicans never had a significant majority until just recently to actually make it happen. So there was a bill in the House that passed a committee by one vote, and then it got to the a Public Utilities Committee, which is run by Mike Hager, and it's his bill. And it failed to pass its own committee. It was kind of a stunning defeat because three of the most powerful members of the House of Representatives voted against Mike Hager and voted with the Democrats. And this is the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, chairman of the House Rules Committee, and also Ruth Samuelson of Mecklenburg County, who's a rising star in the Republican Party.
Well, let me ask you this. Why did they oppose it?
They opposed it for a number of reasons. Representative Tim Moore opposed it because a company from Arizona that builds solar mounts and brackets moved its U.S. headquarters to Shelby, North Carolina, in his district on account of us having policies to promote renewable energy. And that will bring 305 jobs. So he sees this as creating some jobs. Ruth Samuelson voted against it because this is a very complex piece of legislation that required months and months and months of negotiations. And there are lots of sweeteners in here for the utilities. And so all this bill would do is take out the sweeteners for the renewables, but it would keep the sweeteners for the utilities.
Mm.
And so what she thinks is, yes, the policy should be reviewed from time to time, but we should do a comprehensive review rather than just piecemeal pick off things we don't like.
So what impact has the – it's been going for, what, about 6 years now, right?
That's right.
Has it had any impact on the state economy that's perceptible?
It depends who you ask, because the critics will say it has created some jobs, but the jobs are all subsidized, so the jobs are at the cost of higher electricity costs. What it has created, though, is a company called Strata Solar in Chapel Hill is now one of the largest solar developers in the country, and North Carolina, from essentially starting from zero, is now the fifth largest solar farm developer in the country. So that has brought us, you know, we're one of the top solar developers in the United States as a result of this policy.
So you talked about the bill in the House, which has failed to get out of one committee. On the other hand, a Senate committee yesterday approved a similar bill, right?
Yes, that was a very dramatic vote because there was all the debate, there was 45 minutes of public comment, and almost all of it was against passing this law that would repeal the current policy. Then they held a voice vote, and several Democrats called out to have what they call a division. They said, let's count the votes, let's count each individual vote. And the chairman of the committee said, no, this is a voice vote. And he said, all in favor say aye, and we heard aye, all in favor say no, and they shouted, no! So they were actually, in terms of decibels, they were louder, but it's hard to tell who had more votes. It was obviously very close. And so the bill went forward, and it's not clear they actually had a majority. So the bill's not going to another committee. It's going to go to a Senate Commerce Committee.
This bill is close in both the House and the Senate, and it doesn't need to be if it was a strict party line vote. Does this represent some kind of split between, say, the policy-minded Republicans and more ideologically bent Republicans, or is it just the particulars of this legislation?
This bill is to divide the Republican Party, and it has been sort of embraced by national. There are 16 state and national conservative organizations that want to see this policy defeated nationwide. And North Carolina, for them, they see North Carolina as an example and a case study and a testing ground to see how you can bring down this kind of legislation. And they're having a terribly tough time in a very lopsided Republican majority. So if a bill like this can't pass a lopsided Republican majority or has that much trouble, it's clearly a very divisive bill. And there are a number of Republicans who are refusing to repeal this policy.
Where's Governor McCrory on this? Do we know?
Good question. Governor McCrory has expressed support for renewables in the past, and he has also expressed support for offshore drilling and for shale gas exploration. So he's generally for all sorts of energy exploration and development in North Carolina.
All right, John, we will stay tuned. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
John Murawski, Energy and Utilities reporter for the NNO. Just ahead, we'll speak with Elizabeth Spencer, a Southern writer, one that you may not have heard of, but you should have, and we'll tell you why when you come back to the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.